months until July 13th. And as you all are aware, the issue behind this was is they had a fire and explosion out there at their production facility in Lake Pontchartrain. So the staff has requested Clovelly make those. They have made those payments, and we will be hopefully getting more information in the future.
You need some action from us?
No, okay. This is for your information only.
Okay, great.
Thank you. Any questions? Anyone? Discussion? Is that it?
Is that too?
Great. Thank you. We'll move on to nomination track.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board.
Good morning.
Approval by the board was previously granted to staff to process and advertise 32 tracts in the official journal of the state and in the official journal of the parishes where the lands are located for today's lease sale. For the January 11, 2017 mineral lease sale, this office received 9 nominations for advertisement. This is for informational purposes only. We also received 9 nominations were received at the Office of Mineral Resources for the March 14, 2018 mineral lease sale. And for the March 8, 2017 mineral lease sale, this office received 37 nominations for advertisement. The staff is requesting authority to advertise the 9 nominations for the March 14, 2018 mineral lease sale.
All right. The staff's asking permission to advertise those said nominations. I have a motion by Ms. LeBlanc, second by Mr. Hike. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask Ms. Hono a question, please?
Can we just vote? Or you need to?
Did. Okay, I'm sorry. No. Go ahead.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Go ahead.
What is your office's interpretation of what the president has recently stated with regards to, expanding the idea of production offshore and how that may affect Louisiana? Have any rumblings or thoughts within your department about that at this point?
I've had no dialogue with anybody in the office relative to that.
It was announced yesterday that he was reversing his position off the coast of Florida.
Right, I understand that, but I was wondering what if there's been any discussion within the industry about what effect this may or may not have on Louisiana, particularly.
Even with industry, I've had no dialogue.
That's above all of our pay grade, Mr. Hyde.
Well, I just thought that I thought that you run in those circles, you might pick up a snip or two, you know? All right, thank you.
That completes the items for nomination and track.
All right. Great.
Not above your pay grade.
If there's no further business, we'll move on to the audit review report. Ms. Rachel Newman.
Good morning.
Good morning.
As of December 31st, 2017, Fields audit collections totaled $567,871. All of this was due to royalty exceptions. One audit was engaged in December, and we closed 7 audits. Currently, we have 66 open royalty audits. Royalties collected in December of 17 totaled $16,386,707. Fiscal year to date, the total royalties is $90,447,214. At the same time last year, fiscal year to date was $105,915,068. During the month of December, we received 301 state royalty reports. This included 117 for oil, 145 for gas, and 39 for plant products. The only item on the agenda is the staff report to the board that the election for January 2018 gas royalty is to be paid on a processed basis at the Discovery Plant at LaRose and the Sea Robin Plant at Henry per the terms of the State Texaco Global Settlement Agreement. Yes, Mr. Hike.
That upsets me. You turned directly to me. I don't have any questions. Why would you do that?
I asked her before the meeting is if that the last few times we haven't had anything on the agenda concerning audits, if that was done intentionally.
Be careful, Mr. Segura. I've been knowing you a long time. I know where your weaknesses are.
Yeah, I know. Whoa. I know.
Whoa.
There's a lot of them. All right. If there's no further questions, thank you very much. We'll move on to legal and title controversy.
Item number one is a request from Red Stick Energy, LLC, dated December the 1st, 2017. For a full or partial waiver regarding liquidated damages in the amount of $13,300 for the late release of State Lease Number 21136, situated in Blackmans Parish, Louisiana. OMR notified Red Stick on October the 24th, 2017, that State Lease 21136 expired and that Red Stick was required to record a release timely. Red Stick stated in its letter dated December the 11th, 2017, that the late release of State Lease 21136 was due to a clerical error and upon notification by OMR took steps and recorded the release on November 21, 2017. According to the terms of State Lease 21136, specifically paragraph 7C, the lessee agreed to record a release within 90 days from termination or, in this case, on or before July the 10th, 2017 to avoid damages of $100 per day for each day of noncompliance after the expiration of the 90-day period. The release was recorded on November 21st, 2017 or 133 days late. It is the industry's responsibility to maintain our leases and fully follow the terms of the lease. The owner of Red Stick could not be present today due to an unforeseen situation, but had requested that this item be deferred until the February meeting in order to be present. Subsequent to that time, there is a Mr. Bradford Laperouse, who is legal representative for Red Stick. If the board has any questions, he will be glad to address what you may have. So this is Red Stick's first infraction, and according to State Mineral and Energy Board protocol dated May 13, 2009, the board could waive the late release assessment if it so chooses. Staff is recommending to waive the $13,300 assessment.
Any questions? Mr. Hollinshead.
Do you know if Red Stick has P&A'd all the wells and met all the lease requirements associated with this lease, the one that they're releasing?
There were no wells on State Lease 21136.
What? I didn't hear you. So there are no wells to be P&A'd on this lease?
That's what my notes say. I can double check it, but yes.
No, I believe that's correct also. Did they owe the state any more money for anything else?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
Meaning this board, not the state, meaning our group here.
I don't recall any outstanding debts owed.
Mr. Chairman, at the proper time, I'll make a motion to waive the penalty and follow the staff's recommendation.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Hollinshead. Mr. Hike.
I want to ask a question. You say this was the first infraction?
Yes, sir.
On this lease?
Their
first infraction
ever.
And is there someone here who can give a personal can give an explanation for the clerical error, did you say?
Mr. LaPerouse is here. If you would like to ask him questions, yes, sir, he'll be happy to come
up. I just wanted to give us an explanation of why and how.
Bradford LaPerouse. Basically, what happened is it was just a clerical error. As soon as we noted the letter in October, we didn't realize, Red Stick didn't realize immediately that it had to be waived. And as soon as the October letter came in requesting the release, we immediately contacted ONOR to see what the issue was and to see how to resolve it. There was no reason on purpose for not releasing it. It slipped through.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I second Mr. Hollingshead's motion.
All right. No other
questions. And what was that motion, please?
Mr. Hollingshead made the motion, and Secretary Harris is seconding it to accept the staff's recommendation, right?
To accept the staff's recommendation.
Right. To waive it.
Okay, good. I hope somebody.
Yes, Secretary Harris. Any other questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. LaPerouse.
Thank you.
Item 2.
Item 2 is a request from Integrated Exploration Production, LLC, dated December the 15th, 2017, to waive the liquidated damages in the amount of $30,100 for the late release of State Lease 17772 in the Bayou Biloxi Field, St. Bernard Parish, Louisiana. OMR notified Integrated on November 17, 2017, that State Lease 17772 expired and Integrated was required to record a release timely. Integrated stated in its letter, dated December the 15th, 2017, that they acquired the interest of State Lease 17772 in an acquisition from Alta Mesa Services, spending over $100,000 to restore production pertaining to three wells in the field. Then Integrated went through management changes and financial setback. According to the terms of State Lease 17772, specifically paragraph 7C, the lessee agreed to record a release within 90 days from termination, or in this case, on before November the 27th, 2016, to avoid damages of $100 per day for each day of noncompliance after the expiration of the said 90-day period. The release was recorded on September the 27th, 2017, or 301 days late. Again, it is the industry's responsibility to maintain our leases and to fully follow the terms of the lease. However, based on State Mineral and Energy Board protocol from resolution dated May 13, 2009, and this being Integrated's first infraction, the board could waive the late release assessment if it so chooses. Again, staff is going to recommend waiving the $30,100 assessment.
Staff.
All right.
Recommendation.
Ms. LeBlanc recommends accepting the staff's waiver of the assessment. Makes a motion. Do I have a second?
I have a question at the proper time.
I have a question too.
Okay. Question?
I get the same questions as the last one. Are there any wells on this lease that are unplugged? I know it when these leases. When we get a release, we write a letter, and we ask the operator what the plans are if there are any existing wells. Did we write that letter, and did we get a response?
I can say that we have two new leases over this area, and I think there's two active saltwater disposal wells, and three of the wells, the remaining three of the total five were P&A'd.
Okay, so there's two active saltwater wells on this lease?
Right.
Where is the water coming from that's going in those wells?
We do not
know. Are we receiving oil off this lease?
No, that's a saltwater disposal well, so we don't get anything from that.
I understand. So whose water is going down that well if we don't have any active production on the lease?
Well, I can check in.
We can check with conservation for you.
Okay. I mean, to me, when you're putting water down a well and you're getting no production on the from that lease, I want to know if this, you know, is that another state well that's receiving that water? Or are we just taking someone else's water? Normally, there's a fee for salt water disposal.
Wouldn't they have an agreement with someone for the salt water injection wells? Separate agreement with whoever?
Well, it's like the norm. This is board handling for the record, like the normal process. If you've got a lessee that has an operator, they have a separate lease operating agreement, which we never see. So we assume that with the salt water disposal, with the operator of the well, they have an agreement with another party. As far as finding that out, we'll be glad to see if conservation has any record.
Sometimes that's not necessary, that water or that agreement is not necessarily on the same property, right?
Yes.
There's, I just know that.
The only information that I obtained was that there was two saltwater disposal wells. Whether they were active or not, we don't know. The important thing is that there are two current leases, 21532 and 21533, that covers this area, which leads me to believe that they're actively pursuing and there might be some use for those two saltwater wells. But that's my assumption.
In the letters that will go out, those two wells will be in that letter requesting P&A, and at that point we should receive information back from the operator.
Is there a representative from Integrated Exploration?
No, sir. I have an email here that unfortunately he was planning to attend a Russell Butts, but his father fell ill and he had to take care of that. And he said that they're a small independent oil and gas company with limited resources and does not have in-house land department, and there is no one else in the organization that can attend. If this is an issue, if the first infraction is an issue for the board to act on, I would, on his behalf, ask that they waive this to the February meeting.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion on the floor, and it was not seven. I'll make a substitute motion. To my motion?
Yep.
Yes.
And my motion was to accept.
Yes. I'll make a substitute motion. My substitute motion is to delay this to the next meeting for various reasons. Number one, there's nobody here to give us an explanation. Number two, there's some questions that have not been able to be answered by staff. And number three, it hasn't been addressed as to whether or not this is the first infraction of this company.
It is the first.
You said first infraction.
First infraction of this company.
It didn't say that. You said it was first infraction, but it may be the first infraction of this particular lease.
Whenever we mention first infractions, it's for the company. It's not lease specific.
And please say that.
It was in the.
That's why. Those are reasons.
It was in the verbiage.
This is a reason for my motion to defer to the next meeting.
All right. Ms. LeBlanc has a motion, and Mr. Hike has offered a substitute motion. So, do I have a second to the substitute? Is that the follow proper protocol? Legal? Yep.
I'll second the substitute, and I'd like to say I would be in favor of waiving it if they had someone here to answer our questions, because if they have taken care of all their wells, but I don't think I have that information at this time. And these two saltwater wells do cause me concern.
I have a question. Mr. Fontenot,
Ms. LeBlanc.
If we defer this for a month, how will that affect this company? Because I would be in approval to approve this and still have him come, but to approve it since it's the first infraction. I mean, you know, let's give him a little slack here. How will this affect the company if we delay this another month?
The clock keeps ticking on their infractions.
Right. That's what. Yes. Okay. So they're going to continue having. Yeah. Well, I can't vote for that. They can delay
the infraction stops.
Now?
Yes.
Because why?
Because they recorded the release.
Oh,
and
okay.
That's when it stops.
So they will no longer be charged after today, is that correct?
No more than what they owe.
More than what they already have on here.
Right.
But they can continue working and doing what they're doing, is that correct?
That is correct.
I want to know how it's going to affect them if we delay it a month. Because it's first infraction, I don't have a problem with, you know, with my motion.
I think if it satisfies the board, I don't think any harm of postponing it till next month will hurt anything.
Will hurt them in any way. All right, thank you.
They're just asked, it doesn't stop their operations, it just, they're just asking for a relief from their assessment or penalty, right?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I also want to note that while there may still be these two saltwater disposal wells, from what Emil is saying is there are two active leases in this area also, and so that's a consideration, you know, that we have to look at.
But they will continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And if those saltwater wells are facilitating the operation of those two wells, that's my question. I would like to know that. But the end question is, who's taking responsibility for the two saltwater wells when this lease is released?
Right. And in addition to that, you know, when companies come before the board asking for substantial waiver of a violation, even if it is the first infraction, someone ought to be here to make a presentation. And I understand this man might be sick or whatever, but I mean, there's got to be more than one person that's involved in this particular company. I have a problem with waiving $30,000 just without someone from the company giving an explanation. And so that's an addition to what my concern is. And for a staff member to try to answer the question as to what effect it has on a company, I mean, that's completely out of the purview of that staff member.
What?
The representative of that company ought to be here and give us an explanation.
Did you not say that was a very small company and very limited staff? I mean, you know, are we talking?
They don't have an in-house land department. There is a very small company. The man was planning to be here. Every time there is a liquidated damage assessment on this report, I make it clear that it would be in their best interest to appear before the board, and everybody has been doing that for the most part, and this man was planning to be here as well.
In relation to what the Assistant Secretary said, they are, it's noted in the package that they're spending $100,000, right, to restore production in those other wells? Mm-hmm. Three wells. So anyway, so we have we had a motion with a substitute motion and a second to that substitute. Any more questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor of the substitute motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Item 3.
I really don't know how to approach item 3. It's a carryover from the December lease sale with a question by one of the board members asked. We have an answer for that. And subsequent to the mailing of this report, I got an email from TPIC requesting that this item be postponed. In brief, before I read the thing, unless you just want to go to postpone until next month at the December.
I'll make a motion to postpone.
All right. We have a motion by Mr. Hike to postpone item 3, dealt with a waiver of liquidated damages for a Texas Petroleum Investment Company. They've requested to postpone. So we have a motion by Mr. Hike to do that. Ms. LeBlanc is seconding. Any questions or discussion? Any public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Item 4.
It's a request from OMR Legal to grant authority to escrow funds for LOLA LLC in accordance with the board's escrow protocol derived from production on disputed acreage. That would be due under State Lease 21345, lying within the 9400 Big T RC SUA, located in Manila Village Field, Jefferson Parish, Louisiana, until the July 11, 2018 State Mineral and Energy Board meeting. Further, OMR Legal requests that this authority be made effective retroactive to August the 7th, 2016. Resolution 17-02-009 gave authority to LLOX to escrow funds to August the 9th of 2017, and Resolution 17-06-020 further extended authority to escrow funds until January the 10th, 2018. Lola LLC continues to be in compliance with the Office of Mineral Resources deposits and SOR9 reporting requirements for escrowing royalty. OMR Legal recommends granting the authority to escrow funds to Lola LLC until July the 11th, 2018, and the said authority be made retroactive to August the 7th, 2016.
All right. Any discussion or questions on this escrow? Any public comment? If not, I'd like a motion.
I got a question.
Mr. Hikes.
Give us an explanation of how that is in accordance with the board's escrow protocol.
What's the question, sir?
Give me an explanation as to how this is in accordance with the board's escrow protocol. And if I understand correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, that is, this company is, there's a disputed acreage, and funds are being generated from this lease.
Yes.
We're telling the lessee to put it in their own account and hold it until whatever the dispute is settled. Is that right?
But to put it in an account that they own, but that they require, that we require reports on monthly.
Okay.
So, and they are complying with those reporting requirements.
Different from a concursus.
Yes, sir.
Well, I understand that. I know what a concursus is, but how is that in accordance with our protocol? And why is it that the money that is owed to the state is put in their escrow account as opposed to putting it in an escrow account held by the state? And the effect of that would be that the state would be generating interest on the money that's being held.
Well, the board's protocol does not require it to be put into an account owned by the state. The current protocol, this is
the board's protocol, as I understand it, requires the money be put in the lessee's escrow account, right?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Then what occurred with regard, in fact, we don't even know how much is that as we relate to the issue.
I'm not sure.
You don't know?
No.
And what occurs with the interest that's generated by this escrow?
Mr. Hayek, this escrow account is set up, this process is set up in lieu of filing a concursus proceeding because, and it has the same effect of that, essentially, as far as the financial aspect of it goes. If this lessee wanted to file a concursus, it could, and place the money into the registry of the court, where the court would hold that, and interest would accrue on that. It's an interest-bearing account in the registry of the court, and the party who was successful gets the interest. And so it operates the same thing in this situation. We just don't have the constrictors of a meeting, pleading deadlines and dealing with a judge, and allows the parties, while we still think it we're able, to reach an amicable resolution while the money is in an account that the lessee has put it in, and it's accruing interest, and the lessee has essentially said, this is not my money anymore. This is either the state's money or our competing title the person that we're having competitive title with. So it's the same effect. It just allows us to try to get a deal done before having to file a lawsuit.
Does your office know the amount that's in dispute or is in escrow?
Emil said he thought it was around $100,000.
I had a conversation with one of the Alox people, and they thought it was somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000.
Do they send you reports on how much is being held?
Yes.
That's
part of the requirement.
Yeah. Those reports go to our audit staff, and they have a definite idea about what's in there.
Mr. Height, they have to send in a separate SR report. We call it an SR9. It's different from their regular monthly state royalty report. And it's specifically designated for escrow accounts. So they have to send that in monthly along with any bank statements that show they've made the deposit, and it's reconciled every month. And we stay on top of it to make sure that once the concursor dispute is resolved, it's all set up and ready to go, and there's no questions about any additional money that needs to be paid. It can be processed immediately.
Ready to go gives me a problem, and that is this. How is it that you end this particular dispute, and how many do we have outstanding as this one?
Well, this one's a little bit unusual.
Well, let me back up and ask you this question. How many do we have in situations like this? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
Can you get that information? Do we have a report that shows the board how many individual escrow accounts are they, and how much is involved in that? And then my next question would be, who has a responsibility of settling this dispute?
They keep a running tab of all of these, and we have a spreadsheet that we work from, and we meet every 2 weeks on this to go over the particular issues, and our lawyers either. Our in-house lawyers in DNR or our lawyers with the Attorney General's office enter into negotiations with these parties.
I'd like to know how many there are existing and what total dollars we're looking at. I mean, I just don't want it to get to a point where we're back into a situation which is part of the executive session discussion we're going to have this morning about exceptions and never being paid by these various companies. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, but that would be a completely different matter. If there is a property that's in dispute, it is not audited because we have nothing to audit it to. We don't know what amount we're going to be able to settle on or what decimal the state agrees upon. So those are left out. So that would be a little bit different matter.
I understand that. I understand, but the similarity is what? Money that could be owed to the state, right?
Yes.
And so we need to try to figure out what the end plan is for this process. And I just like to know how much money is being held and how many escrow agreements are being held where money could be owed to the state.
Well, let me assure you that we're not trying to figure out what the end plan is. We know what the end plan is. I mean, we have a process that we go through. We've settled numerous of these concursus type situations just since I've been here. And so the state owns water bottoms, and sometimes it has title issues with neighboring landowners, and these arise consistently, and we are consistently dealing with them. So,
okay, if so, cut. Could I be furnished a copy of that list so
yes.
I can take a look at it? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I move to accept the recommendation of staff.
Ms. LeBlanc makes a motion to accept staff's recommendation for the escrow. Second by Secretary Harris. Any further questions or discussion? Public comment? If not, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Item 5.
It is a settlement and boundary agreement bound between Bedford LLC, E.T. Robinson Property LLC, excuse me, Jane Gray Ort Properties LLC, Harold Winks, Val Hornet LLC, and the State of Louisiana, acting through its agencies, the Louisiana Division of Administration, the Office of State Lands, and the Louisiana State Mineral and Energy Board, whereas said parties have reached a settlement in the matter entitled BHP Billiton Petroleum LP versus E.T. Robinson Property LLC et al., docket number 36076, within the 39th JDC of Red River Parish, Louisiana, affecting state lease number 18503, Red River Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. BHP filed a suit to settle the dispute as to the ownership, boundaries, and minerals adjacent to the Red River within the HARB-SUF unit for the Red River Bull Bayou Field. Previous authority from the board was given to the AG's office to resolve the dispute with the terms and conditions reflected in the aforementioned agreement. The items have been duly advertised. It appears on today's docket as item 18-01 and will require board action at such time. This is for informational purposes only.
Great. Thank you. Any questions or discussion? Next one, 6, I believe it's information as well, right?
I'm sorry?
Yes. Number 6 is for information as well.
Yes, sir, it is.
Thanks.
And it's a settlement, receipt, and release agreement by and between Hillcore Energy Company individually and as general partner of Hillcore Energy 1 LP, the Plaquemines Parish government on behalf of itself and the Burris Levy District, and the state of Louisiana acting through its agency, the Louisiana State Mineral and Energy Board, whereas said parties have reached a settlement in the matter entitled Hillcore Energy 1 et al. Versus the state of Louisiana through the State Mineral and Energy Board in Plaquemines Parish Government, docket number 60-827, 25th JDC, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, affecting state lease number 20564, situated in Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, with further particulars being stipulated in the instrument. Hillcore was unable to determine the ownership of various tracts in the 4-8 SUA unit in the West Bay Field, Plaquemines Parish, Louisiana, and filed a concursive suit to resolve the issue. Previous authority from the board was given to the AG's office to resolve the dispute with the terms and conditions reflected in the aforementioned agreement. This item has been duly advertised. It appears on today's docket as item 18-02 and will require board action at such time. This is for informational purposes only.
Any questions on item 6? All right. Item 7, update on the lease form compilation process.
Yeah. In line with the procedure that I sent to the board in an email in the past, we have completed our internal review of Articles 1 through 8, and those articles have been emailed to the board for your review. We are in the process of reviewing and drafting our royalty provision, which is Article 9. That is very involved. It's a large article. Two, it's probably, other than our lease maintenance article, and Article 3 is probably the most important one that we want to get right and want to do well in the mineral lease. And so, as it stands now, I'm in the process of reviewing a lot of legal research articles on some of the issues that that have been dealt with in the past with execution or royalty provisions. Our legal staff is doing their own legal research on this, and we're all going to get together and meet on it and make some revisions to it. And I will likely get that out to the board in the next month, and that will probably just be by itself. And then we'll continue on the internal review process for the remainder of the articles. So,
great. Thank you. Any questions?
Chairman, I have a comment.
Hi.
I want to say to the board, and I guess to those in attendance, that Mr. Manuel has been very cooperative. I've read his recommendations. I've offered some suggestions of my own. We had a little meeting this morning. Todd and I had a little meeting with him this morning and made some suggestions on Articles 1 through 8, and he gave us, for the most part, satisfactory answers to my questions.
I appreciate that. I wanted to make mention of that. I may or may not agree on all of those suggestions, but I try to listen to what he says. The next article is critical. We've kicked this around for about 3 years now, if my memory serves me correctly. And we've had various experts give us various opinions. And I hope that all of us on the board take this very serious in terms of this particular article.